course of Jeep Money. I am here with my fellow friends, my fellow compatriots, my fellow nerds.
That was you.
That was me. And we are here on a lovely Tuesday evening. I'm so glad you guys could be with us. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I am joined by some talented and untalented fellows.
Wow. Hey, Ron, he's talking
don't
about you.
Hey, Ron, like that? Man.
Joining me.
Don't you know he's got a fan club?
To my far left. He is the comic book artist extraordinaire. He is the man.
To your far left is Kai.
That's right. He is also the man who is the author of the Kukui Project, Disco Thunder, Groovebone, The Milkman Always Delivers, and the man who is working on issue 10?
Yep.
Issue 10 of the Kukui Project. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the very talented Todd Bernardi.
Hello.
Todd Bernardi's in the house.
Good job, Todd. Way to be in the house.
And way to be one of the talented
ones. I'm just happy to be indoors.
Yeah, it's very nice. Also joining us tonight, she is also a fellow artist. She is the woman responsible for the Maui Comic-Con posters 3 years in a row. Two years in a row.
She can't count.
I can't count. She's very
Francine
talented.
Francine was in the artist alley at the first Comic-Con. Yep.
And 7 years running, Francine.
Yeah. I was like, Francine, could you? It was an uncomfortable conversation. Yeah. I was like, do you mind putting the dirty pictures in the book?
I actually got a little blue tape I covered out.
Yeah, with the painter's tape. I saw that.
Yeah. Painter's tape.
Wow. You know, I mean, the art is beautiful, and it's great. It should be out there for people.
I couldn't believe there were so many girls walking around with tape on their squirrely bobs.
There's, these two probably like 10-year-old boys who'd walk
and they're
by,
looking into the
and they would just like, talking to themselves like, look, you can kind of see it poking through the tape.
Wow.
I remember being 10.
She is very well known for her erotic art, including a Meg with breasts. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the one and only Lady Gannon in the house. Better known as Francine Wallraven.
My favorite Gannon.
Sam Campo says he loves your work.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sam.
Also, yeah, do that once in a while. Put the mic in her face so she can talk. Yeah. Also joining us tonight, it is time for me to introduce my
cinema soulmate,
my hetero life mate.
At least 20 minutes.
He is the professor of cinema, the inspiration for the podcast, and yes, without a doubt, the reason why I'm here today. Yay. Ladies and gentlemen, get over Professor Barry's in the house tonight.
It's your fault, Barry. It's all your fault.
Did you save his life or something?
Save a laugh tonight.
CPR.
Also joining us tonight, he is the gaming guru.
They made
the man who is the master of card tricks. Are they not card tricks? Dang. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the one and only Format. He's in the house tonight.
Ooh, my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
My favorite.
Thank you, America. Thanks for having me.
Also,
glad to be here.
Yeah, you glad to be here? Good, yeah. Good. Also joining us tonight, he is the cinema scholar. He is also the cinnamon scallop. He is the master of hard media.
What?
It knocks up against the desk every time we're here on Tuesday nights. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the
actually bring some?
Fantastic nice. A-Ron. He's in the house tonight.
Hey, A-Ron. Woo.
Thank you.
Yay.
Yeah. No. One A-Ron in his name.
I don't have my fedora,
wow.
though.
Last but not least, he is the comic master, the chairman of the comic book board, and the godfather of comic books. He is the owner, proprietor of Maui Comics and Collectibles right here at 115 South Waikea Avenue. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the one, the only, Dr. Daddy Leaks. He's in the house tonight.
Thank you.
That's right.
I'm not a doctor.
Is
not a stop it.
Francine, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to change the poster. And you're going to have to put Nerd Watch and Dr. Daddy Leaks Presents Comic-Con 2018.
I'm not a doctor. I'm pretty sure that's illegal to put it in print.
No, you can. I'm pretty sure you can.
Have you spelled it Doctor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a rap. It could be my rap name.
Doctor!
I can't rap.
No, you gotta say it like Harley Quinn.
Setting people up for disappointment.
Yeah. You're a doctor like Dr. Demento.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Dr. Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Detroit. Detroit. You could be a
pimp. Dr. Detroit. Whoa.
Dr. Detroit.
Dr. Detroit was a teacher by day, a pimp by night.
That's right.
That is a crazy what I do, career actually. Change for
me. Who is Stephen Martin's character in Little Shop of Horrors, the dentist?
Oh, he was
the psycho dentist.
Yeah,
I could be that
am your
guy.
Dentist.
I'm your dentist. It's Dr. Lee.
Oh, God.
That's good. That's good, Francine.
That is a good impression.
That's really good. Well, listen, we've got comics to talk about tonight. And before we get to the comic book list, I do want you guys to know that are listening and watching the show tonight, you guys can watch us right here on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdwatch every Tuesday night. You can listen to us on, of course, iTunes, Audio Boom, and on Stitcher. You can also listen to us on Spotify as well, so you don't want to miss out on that. So you can check us out on Spotify, put us on your podcast playlist, and check us out on the CastBox app. Yeah, the CastBox app is pretty impressive podcast app, which you guys should check out for sure and listen to the NerdWatch as well. All right? Now, next week, I'm gonna preface this so that way I know that we have to talk about it. Next week is going to be a very special show. We're going to talk about...
Are we going to need counselors?
We're going to definitely need counselors, and people's hurt feelings are going to be hurt next week, because next week the Nerd Watch is going to tackle Comicsgate.
I bet I can guess what side of the gate you stand on.
Oh,
G.
You know what time it is. You'll know, and we'll talk about it next week. Comicsgate, Todd Bernardi, Dr. Daddy Leaks, Gannon will be
I'm
here.
A doctor.
And the rest of you Stop guys that are in the chat that watch us live, you guys can also interact with us, because next week Comicsgate will be. Kind of the subject matter to speak of next week, which will be very interesting indeed. For those of you that don't know what Comicsgate is, of course, do a little research on it. You'll find out about how women are ruining comics. Anyway, no, just kidding.
Comicsgate is for a-holes.
No, wait, I'm just kidding.
What did I do?
No, nothing. You didn't do anything to comic. Not you in particular.
You're about to, though.
Yeah.
You're about to release your own.
You're about to.
Yeah. Just my people.
Just your people.
Okay.
It's your people. Anyway, it's time to check in with let's stay with what's good about comic books. It's right here at 115 South Waukea Avenue, right here at Maui Comics and Collectibles.
Diversity,
is,
right? Is that what you're
it's all
say?
About diversity right here at Maui Comics and Collectibles.
What's good?
That's right. So let's check out what's brand new in the world of SJW Comics, which you're not going to want to miss out on, right here at 115 South Waukea Avenue, Maui Comics and Collectibles. Let's find out what's new this week in the world of the comic books.
Trademark. Oh, Daddy Leaks.
That's good, Francine. Yes. Good
Actually,
job.
That does serve to break the tension, because like
Huzzah.
Whenever G speaks, I'm just like, I just want to call him an idiot.
Yeah. Well, you
Who's
know,
stopping you.
Yeah.
It's a bad way to start the comics list.
Oh, okay. Good point.
So this week we've got Asgardians of the Galaxy number one. Yeah. From Marvel Comics, the best comics in the world. Astonishing.
You're going to trigger me. Yes, I thought that this was a safe space.
You posted a Jeff Goldblum meme today.
Yeah.
And so I was like, ooh, that trigger's itchy today.
I think he's right. They're kind of the same thing.
All
right,
sweet.
They are. So the meme we're talking about is somebody asked Jeff Goldblum in an interview, are you a Marvel or DC guy? Because if somebody reads comics, that's a safe question to ask. Everybody picks a side. And Jeff makes a stink face like he just smelled some doo-doo. Mm-hmm. And he says, aren't they both the same thing?
Nice.
Right?
Yes.
Thanks, Jeff.
They are, Jeff.
So.
Except Marvel's not going to let any diversity ruin their comic books.
Yeah. Not with a Trumper on their staff. Batman 54 from that other comic company. Avengers. Avengers number 7. Ben Reilly, Scarlet Spider, number 23.
Oh, is that from Marvel Comics?
It totally is from
Marvel Comics. Oh, my God. They're still releasing clone comics?
Yes, they are.
Wow.
You sound excited. Border Town, number 1.
It's not like it's Prowler.
That's is Border Town also written by Bendis? Is he writing 4 separate comic books right now? Is it?
For Jinx,
isn't Border
for
Town,
Jinx World.
Wasn't that an animated show on Fox for a while?
Yeah.
Is it the same thing?
It was
thing?
Really bad. No, it's not the same thing. No,
okay.
Hell no.
Oh, okay.
It's on DC Comics. They have a little more class than that.
Who runs Border Town?
Who runs Border Town?
Bully Wars, number 1, from Image Comics.
Ooh.
Captain America, number 3. Mm. Cosmic Ghost Rider, number 3 of 5. That's nice. Where he goes back in time. Cosmic Ghost Rider, who's been revealed to be Frank Castle, goes back in time to raise baby Thanos in the hopes of that he won't grow up to be evil.
He punches him in the face.
I bet you he kills the baby at the end of it.
He breaks his fingers so he'll never be able to snap.
Cover number 1 of 6. That's another Bendis title.
Did you hear that, speaking of the snapping thing, did you hear the joke that came out during that time of Infinity War? The Yo Mama joke that came out?
That I find those jokes hurtful. Because I have a fat mama.
No, it was a really cute joke. I don't know. I can't accredit it to anybody because I don't know who started it.
Yeah,
it was really funny.
Everybody heard it the first week.
Oh, was it? Okay, I was just kind of curious because he brought it up. I didn't know if anybody had heard it. It was pretty
funny.
Your
mama's so fat, it took Thanos 2 snaps.
Yeah.
He had to snap twice.
Yeah, Thanos had to snap twice. Yeah, that was really funny. It was cracking me up. Anyway.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Zazing!
Deadpool number 4. Dreaming number 1, which is... for the Sandman series.
Neil Gaiman. Oh, wow. I was like, Neil Diamond. I was like, I'm in. Crackland Rose.
Cover by Bendis is going to be David Mack's return to doing interiors, too.
Oh, he's going to be doing the interior
doing
of the comic.
He's doing the whole thing.
That's awesome.
Sweet.
I have no idea who that is, but it's
David
Mack?
He did Kabuki. He's doing the watercolor covers for Superman.
He also had had something to do with the opening credits of Daredevil, too.
Yeah, the art, the end credits.
Used.
He designed the cast.
Oh, when the ink spills through. Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, he designed all that. He won.
Kaimana Yamada's version of the Thanos joke is better. Your mom was so fat, Thanos had to clap.
That's good.
Oh, God forbid one of you guys become a fat mom someday.
Hey, why don't you shut up, Alika?
Looking at you, G-Money. Yeah.
I am the main trio. Yeah. I know.
Mother hen. That's gross.
Yeah. All right, what else?
Immortal Hulk number 5. James Bond Origin number 1.
Yikes.
It is. Anybody's looking forward to that one.
James Bond Origin?
I heard he was black.
That's hilarious.
Justice League
Weird
number
that
7.
Weird that comes out when we had an announcement of we're going to get a Bruce Willis origin for McClane, John McClane.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, it's called McClane.
Oh, that's cool.
I have no idea.
Why Who's playing him?
Oh, man. I don't know.
The Rock.
Yes, The Rock. The Rock. That's right.
Joseph Gordon.
He already played McClane in Skyscraper.
That's true. that's a good point. Yeah.
Nightwing number 48. Outpost 0 number 3. Old Man Logan Annual number 1.
Woo! Will the Old Man Logan annual. Die?
He's about to.
Okay, good.
Silver Surfer Annual
Logs
number 1.
Logs everywhere.
What?
Look, I'm no longer a jerk for
it's
saying
it's
going to
have the Log Lady from...
Yeah, the Twin Peaks Log Twin Lady Pe- killed him.
Oh my god.
That's what the Log's been trying to tell her the whole time.
The whole time.
I killed Logan.
That's right, I killed Logan.
It wasn't my fault. He tripped.
Yeah.
Star Wars number 53. Ooh. Spider-Man Deadpool number 38. Yeah. Thanos Legacy number 1. Ooh.
Oh.
Does he have a legacy?
I guess so.
Well,
hell yeah.
Yeah, he killed her. TMNT Urban
Legend. Off a cliff.
Yeah. For one of them sweet gems, baby. Mm. Mm. TMNT Urban Legends number 5.
Mm. Urban ones.
How urban are they? Urban.
All black people.
Whoa.
Wait,
that's not,
what?
That's coded.
That's totally not. Coded language, sir.
Yeah. He uncoded it. Yeah. United
I don't
States,
think there's a code anymore.
Yeah. Not with
that's
Todd.
Decoded.
Zero filter.
Yeah, zero.
United States versus Murder, Inc. number 1 of 6. Mm. Venom First Host number 205.
Is
that's
about
a
the
pretty
rap,
popular
is that, book. Is that about the rap group Murder, Inc.?
Yes.
Ja Rule!
It's about that
help
famous
me, Ja Rule!
I was going to say!
Help me!
Help me, Ja Rule!
Smurda!
Smurda.
It's a comic about the United States trying to take down Ja Rule
and
his
crew. Ja Rule and Ashanti!
That's
you
right.
need to help me!
We hold up at the Four Seasons! Send me some cognac!
Baby!
Baby! Weapon X number 23. and X-Men Gold number 35.
Wow.
Round out the comics
nice.
List.
Round out the comics Woo! List. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You can pick up your comics as well as find out what's new with Ja Rule and Murder, Inc. right here at Mountain Comics and Collectibles at 115.
My
South
Ja Rule impersonation is the same as my Tony Danza impersonation.
Angela.
Smyrna.
Smyrna.
Smurda. Yes.
Who's the boss?
Yes, Brent. This is a light sleeper Stan Oshaka shirt.
Oh, right my here. Gosh, that made me laugh. Anyway, you can check it out. 115 South Waukee Avenue right here in the heart of Kahului Town. It is Maui Comics and Collectibles. Also, if you happen to be in Lahaina, you can check out our good friends at Game Over Comics in Lahaina. Yep. It's Game Over Comics. Just ask for Rex or Arthur at Game Over Comics
Chris and Aaron.
In Lahaina.
Good guys, Chris and Aaron.
Yeah, they're good guys. Rex or
Chris
Arthur.
Chris and Aaron.
All right, anyway, listen. We got more comic talk. We're going to start a little feature here, courtesy of...
We never do
features, right? But courtesy of Professor Barry Wurst, because he wants to be central to the show, and because he should be central to the show.
When did I say that?
No, you should be central to the show.
I want to minimize myself.
This is all your fault. Now you've taken responsibility for everything.
I am inching towards the door.
Professor Barry actually came up with a very excellent idea, and I think we should start it this week. Professor Barry came up with a fantastic idea of talking about 10... comics that has influenced his life.
Yep.
And Professor Barry, it's called 10 Comics in 10 Minutes.
10-10.
10-10.
I remember this being mentioned last week, but I
you didn't do the homework?
No, I didn't.
No, it's good because Professor Barry had a better idea. It said it'd be insufferable if we all did it at one time.
What?
So what? Every week someone can do it. Sure. So this week it's going to be Professor Barry.
That's fine. I'll take
so,
the attention.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the 10 comics in 10 minutes that changed Professor Barry's life. So, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Professor Barry.
Second, John. Okay, this is good. So I got till 10:05. Okay, all right, so... Right. So keep me.
Are you going
to
talk like the micro machine?
I am not.
He's good. He's a professor. He'll
learn
good.
His name one day.
All right. Don't interrupt him.
It's all right. Mike.
Let's go.
I'm going to start with Sergio Aragone's Grew the Wonder. This is a comic that my brother Marty and I bonded over. This began, of course, in 1982. The great Sergio Aragonés, and of course, lettering by the wonderful Stan Sakai, friend of all of us here.
Yeah.
In fact, I think his signature is on one of these walls somewhere. Yeah. Anyway, I love Grew the Wanderer. Grew is a magnificent swordsman and an inept human being, but a magnificent swordsman. His weakness is cheese dip, and his lovely dog Roberto follows him everywhere. Every episode, every episode of Grew the Wanderer opens up with a minstrel kind of allowing music to set the story. But the first issue of Gru, which this is right here, is actually introduced by Sergio Aragonés himself, kind of basically playing himself, starting it off. It's really like a magical way to start it. I love it because you typically don't see the artist saying, this is who I am, this is what I've created, I'm setting the... It's so charming and so brilliant. There are so many great characters that emerge throughout the course of this story. And the artwork, and I included this one as well. The artwork by Sergio Aragonés is so brilliant because it's so in-depth. It's so textured. And there's a lot of tiny stuff going on in the margins. Most fans of Sergio Aragonés are familiar with him because of Mad Magazine. I grew up loving and worshiping Mad Magazine. I still have a subscription to Mad Magazine. And that was how I first saw his work, which is very eclectic, very charming. But there's a real distinct look. In the same way that Matt Groening has a very distinct look to his character, same thing with Sergio Aragonés. This character has kind of come and gone over the years. There have been different reiterations, but they've all been by Sergio Aragonés. And Stan Sakai was telling us that he still is very much active in the world of Gru. I love this character, and if you haven't encountered Gru the Wanderer yet, it's not only incredibly funny, but there's a real brilliance to the storytelling. It's really sharp. It's really funny. It's not obvious humor. It's a very clever riff on fantasy. It's a very clever riff on Conan the Barbarian. So I definitely want to recommend Gru the Wanderer.
So Gru the Wanderer, you bought it with your brother? With him?
Yeah, my brother and I, the first issue we ever encountered was Gru and Gruella. That was the first one we ever read, and we just kind of became just ridiculous Gruholics.
Do you still
there.
Love your brother as much as you love Gru the Wanderer?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Marty and I are very close.
just checking. Next.
I found this issue of Swamp Thing in my father's chest. He has a lot of these storage chests that he keeps around his garage, and a lot of them have old army gear and like stuff that my father used to make these amateur movies when he was a kid, and he has like these old Super 8 cameras and all these like film reels, and I just happened to find Swamp Thing number 12 in one of his chests, and I'm like, Dad, what is this? He's like, oh, it's Swamp Thing. You don't know Swamp Thing? And I became very quickly addicted to Swamp Thing. Lead Wine Swamp Thing first appeared in 1972. I became a big fan of Alan Moore's The Saga of Swamp Thing. I love the idea of it completely deconstructs the story. Most of you know this. Swamp Thing used to be about how this scientist became this creature and emerges from the swamp, having so much of the swamp in him. And the idea of the Saga of Swamp Thing created by Alan Moore, I think that was 80... Shoot, I don't have the exact time. The scientist Alec Holland dies. The swamp absorbs his mind. He's not a man who turns into a plant, but a plant who thinks he's a man. And it's tragic because the way the story begins, you really do think this is the same Swamp Thing. This is a guy who's become this creature and has to just, no, this is an individual who is never a real person. This is somebody who died in the swamp, and the swamp absorbed all of his memories and has emerged him, reemerged him rather, as this vegetable thing. Swamp Thing has always been so surreal. I love this character. I love this comic book series. It's always been a love story, by the way. I love this cover with Abigail and Swampy. It has kind of a Beauty and the Beast kind of feel to it. There's such a – it's – the better this comic is, the stranger it is. That's one of the things I love about it. It's very inaccessible, for one thing, for film. That's one of the reasons I think – I like the both Swamp Thing movies, but it's not the comic book, which is always so incredibly weird and so incredibly dense and so very hallucinatory in its imagery. I adore Swamp Thing. You a fan of Swamp Thing?
I am a fan of Swamp Thing, but more importantly, I'm a fan of Adrian Barbeau.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan of Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing and Man Thing came out kind of simultaneously in 1972 to 73.
And the creators were roommates.
Oh, yeah. And neither Marvel or DC ever pressed any kind of legal action against one another because it was both sort of a ripoff of an earlier character called the Heap from the 1940s.
And I'll get to Man Thing in a second when we talk about Howard the Duck, but I'm getting ahead of myself. This is my favorite purchase ever from Maui Comics. Not Maui Comics, I'm sorry. Complete Comics.
Thanks for the plug.
But you could also go to Maui Comics and Collectibles at 115 South Waukegan. Nathaniel Dusk. This was one of those comic books that completely blew my mind because it's by Don McGregor. He's the writer. This comic book is basically Chinatown. Oh, it has that kind of Raymond Chandler feel. The writing
is Gene Colan artwork.
It's so beautiful.
Figure that would be the headline.
That too. I'm a big fan of Nathaniel Dust because it was kind of an introduction to how rich comic books could be, not only in terms of the plotting, and this is very, very dense, very in-depth writing, but the imagery is gorgeous. It's not that kind of, you know, that kind of dot, you know, that dot approach that so many of the comic books I had. Every picture looks like a beautiful, like a portrait. It's just so gorgeous and it's so rich with color, but there's also so much pain and so much intensity in this story. Love Nathaniel Dusk. So there's Nathaniel Dusk 1 and 2, and these are these two monster sets that Perry would have in his shop, Complete Comics, up the hill. And I kind of circled around it for years, and then finally I'm like, oh, I just got to buy it and read it. And it was one of those blind buys that stayed with me forever.
For those of you that are watching that don't know, Complete Comics was the place to be when you were in Maui back in the day to get comic books.
Comic books?
They were open for over 20 years or something. Well, they closed in 05.
Yeah, but I'm talking
for
people.
It was like 80
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I making sure so. Everybody knew in Oahu, for those who are watching in Oahu and on the Big Islands.
Oh, they know who Perry was.
All right, fine.
I'm just saying, man, people in Maui know what Gekko is.
Volume 2 was Alan Moore's Saga of Swamp Thing. It started in 1982.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
All right, what else you got there?
Kraven's Last Hunt. This is the first comic book that ever scared the hell out of me. Not so much for Kraven, but for the side character Vermin, who is a cannibal. One of Spider-Man's greatest foes. I love Kraven. Is a little, and I think, like, I don't know if it'll ever work in a live-action context. He's a little ridiculous. But as a comic book character, he reminds me a lot of Max Cady from Cape Fear. There's something very, like, animalistic about him. But the character of Vermin, who is a side character in this story, this legendary story, Kraven's Last Hunt, the character of Vermin is... he's not a human, and he's a cannibal, and he's grotesque. And this comic actually ends with a violent suicide where a character blows his brains out, and you see the blood splattering everywhere. I'd never seen anything like that in my life. I didn't know that comic books could be so rough, so dark, so scary, and invoke such nightmares in me. So this comic book, when I say 10 comic books that changed my life, this was a scary one for me. My buddy John Spinello lived down the street from me. We'd often not trade each other comic books, but I would let him borrow one. He would let me borrow one. He let me borrow this issue of Spider-Man. I couldn't wait to get out of the house. I was so afraid of it. Looking at it now, I realize how rich and how textured it is. But as a kid, this stuff was the thing of nightmares for me.
And the Comics Code Authority approved of it? What the?
How dare they?
They were all white.
Well, back in the day, the Comics Code Authority only looked at black and white copies. So they wouldn't know that a comic book was really bloody because they wouldn't get a colored they wouldn't get a colored version.
Good point.
Of it.
I always thought to, I'm with Professor Barry that I always thought that Kraven is like one of the worst Spider-Man villains.
You
really
think it's one of the worst?
I don't like him at all. I never liked Kraven.
I think he looks a little silly with his attire, but I think the character is really fascinating.
You gotta have a cool supervillain outfit, man. Half a lion's head.
It's true, I guess. What else you got?
I've got 2 minutes to go, so clearly it's not going to work.
All right, go. Keep going.
Do my best. One thing I found out about comic books is that they can allow you to see movies that your mom will let you see, like RoboCop. this was the first adult comic book I ever owned, really, in terms of having really strong content. It's in black and white, but it's incredibly gushy and gory. Not to mention it captures the excitement of the movie. In fact, the whole twist about Murphy learning to spin his gun because he watched TJ Laser and then his partner Ann Lewis recognizes that RoboCop still has that quality, I thought it was actually explained better in this comic book than it was in the movie, in my opinion. But this comic book led to like, oh, wow, I mom won't let me see Total Recall with Blade Runner, but I can get the comic book adaptation. So so I have this this wonderful Marvel adaptation of RoboCop to think, and RoboCop 2, which is also not allowed to see in theaters. So
Murphy, it's you.
This is the one that started it for me with Howard the Duck. This is the first issue of Howard the Duck, which is a good issue. It's not bad, but that second issue is what got me. And oddly enough, I found the second issue of Howard the Duck in a pet store. How appropriate was that? This pet store had a box of comic books, all 50 cents each. I'm like, that looks good. Howard the Duck, this was like about a year or two before the movie came out. And the first issue was good, but the second issue, everything is like set in motion. The relationship between Howard and Beverly, the space turnip and the kidney lady, one of my favorite of the Howard the Duck villains.
The kidney lady?
The evil kidney lady, yes, yeah. Who wants to steal your kidneys. I love this issue. It is so funny. It is so inventive. It opens up with an outer space battle. I love Howard the Duck. He's my favorite comic book character. I love how it's kind of a commentary on 70s America, on what the atmosphere of Cleveland was like at the time, as well as New York and, you know, the whole post-Vietnam, post-Watergate way that America was at that time, that very troubled period, like we ever got away from that. Anyway, I love Howard the Duck because it is rich satire. It is very 1970s, but it still very much applies to someone who is out of his element, feeling like he's trapped in a world that he never made, surrounded by hairless apes. Howard the Duck is my absolute favorite character. If you're going to start with any comic book, I would say start with Howard the Duck number 2. The first one's good, but it's not as good as what comes afterwards.
Wow.
And of course, this is the character that we first got. I make sure I got my notes here. Steve Gerber's character first appeared in 1973 in the first issue of – excuse me. That's not the first issue. It's issue number 19 of Adventure Into Fear featuring Man-Thing.
Wow.
Moving on to Secret Wars number 2.
Wow.
I like Secret Wars 2 better than 1. And I know they both deal with the Beyonder. I like Secret Wars 2. I think.
I wish I had the cover that just proves that, like, is like, why? I think you might. It might be the cover to issue 1 if you have it. No, I guess it's not. Where the Beyonder's on the cover with sunglasses and a popped collar. And it's just like, clearly, obviously, this is the cheesy predecessor to Secret Wars.
I like it. I like the second Secret Wars, like, it's very existential with the Beyonder. He really wants to know what it's like to be a human being. He loves to destroy us. He's also taunting us. It's a, you know, it's a very much the whole God complex of coming down and wrecking havoc. And Secret Wars 2, because I was so addicted to Secret Wars, it really taught me that, oh, I need to collect all these different issues in order to tell the whole story. It really made me understand that. Certainly when the whole idea of the Marvel Cinematic Universe came out and they had the list of movies coming out, which date, I thought that's perfect.
Rom.
Hey, I totally get it because of Secret Wars.
Wow. Rick Jones, Brandy Clark, One Step Beyond. Rom.
The story, of course, Secret Wars 2 by Jim Shooter. I think it's a great story. In fact, I prefer Secret Wars 2 over 1, but obviously not everyone agrees with me.
Wow.
Which is perfectly okay.
That's like saying Predator 2 is better than Predator 1.
You could make a case for that because they're very different.
Yeah,
they're very, very different. So, this one, I'm a huge fan of Sandman Mystery Theater. I love Sandman Mystery Theater by Matt Wagner and Guy Davis. Love Sandman Mystery Theater from Vertigo Comics. It is also, like a lot of my favorite comics I've mentioned before, it is a love story. Sandman Mystery Theater is the tale of Wesley Dodds and Diane Belmont. Wesley Dodds being a war veteran who has these nightmares, these awful visions of what he experienced during wartime, and he dresses up as the Sandman. What I love about him is that he's overweight, he's middle-aged, he's out of his element,
hey,
and he's wonderful.
It.
That's talking about a fictitious comic book character.
Oh, sorry.
And he has this gorgeous girlfriend, and they have this great relationship. He's a very relatable, very real character.
Kinda
I love
hurts,
that about him.
It hurts me a little bit. But anyway.
I'm saying that this guy does not have the physique of a Superman. He has like he's like a
all
giant.
All right, enough. I get it.
More like a G-Money.
I get it.
If they were going to make a movie out of this and they were to do it right, it should have been John Candy. And I love that. I love that idea of a guy who like doesn't look like he could be a superhero, and that's exactly why it's so disarming and why he's so effective. This comic book is extremely racy, extremely violent. There's Art Deco style throughout. God, I love this cover. All these Art Deco covers are so fantastic, and the imagery inside is just gorgeous. It is a hypnotic magazine. It's like Batman versus Batman meets Chinatown. I love Sam and Mystery Theater. My God, if I had to choose one Superman villain, this would be the one. And I always say his name wrong. I've been saying Mr. Mixaplex, and I know that's not how you say it. It's
pretty much how I could mixes. Want to.
It's Mixes Pitalik, right?
I guess
they pronounce it Mix Pitalik, or the way that you said it the first time. They said
Mr. Mixaplex. That's what I was saying.
Yeah,
since I was eight.
Yeah, that's the way that they pronounce it on the cartoon.
Okay.
No, Mixes Pitalik is how it's pronounced on the cartoon.
Really?
You're talking Super Friends, right?
No, I'm talking the 1990s
Adventures
of Superman.
Oh.
Oh, the one
Mixaplex
with the
is with the way that they say it.
Yeah, that's cuz I'm going yeah, the off way, of the
90s cartoon was Mixaplex. It was easy.
Right,
because Mixie and Spitlick because he did a rebus of it. He transformed into the different things. The
oh,
different
that's
sounds.
Cool. That's cool. Okay.
But that was
I remember
on Super
that
Friends,
was
right?
that was
no, no, that was on the
cartoon.
I thought he was going off of Super Friends.
Oh. Who's the voice
this
in
is the one
of Adventures
of
Batman?
The,
Superman?
The Adventures.
What's his name?
What was it called? The Batman animated series,
yeah,
but
yeah.
the Superman one.
Yeah, Adventures.
Yeah, Tim Daly. Tim Daly was the was
Tim Daly
Superman.
Cool.
That's right. Anyway, sorry.
I don't know. It's okay. This has always been my favorite Superman villain. I love that he is this. I mean, he's from the fifth dimension. His powers are untold, but he has this Rumpelstiltskin like curse. Mm-hmm. You have to say his name backwards or spell it backwards. He's the only one to get rid of him. Send him back to the fifth dimension. This issue of the Adventures of Superman is my favorite. This is number 441 from 1988. There's a part of this comic book where it becomes a cartoon, literally a cartoon, and the artwork changes. I'd never seen that before. I mean, come on, I was only nine. I'd never seen that sort of thing happen where the entire artwork, the very style of the comic book changes midway through because Mr. Mixaplex sees this big giant border, this what do you call it? We don't have these here in Maui. They have them on Oahu. The billboards. There's a billboard for Saturday morning cartoons, and he allows all the creatures in the billboard to come to life and attack. So it's like a parody of Smurfs, a parody of like Care Bears. All these characters are attacking Superman, and Superman himself takes on this cartoon form, not unlike how he looked in Cool World, at the end of Cool World. It's wonderful. I'd never seen that kind of thing where the whole style of the comic book changes after a few pages. And after a few pages, you know, it's like we're in this comic book world. Then it returns, and the style once again becomes very studied and very like faithful to like the tower used to seeing Superman. So I love this comic book not only because of the style, but also because it showed me kind of how the rules can change. There really aren't any rules to speak of, and this character is so funny. I've always loved every iteration of him. I love this cover where Lois Lane is saying, "Drop dead Superman, Mr. Mixaplex is the only man for me." Love it, love that character. And this is also one of the things I love about Superman. We've talked about the character in depth on this show about how there's kind of a this kind of a aspect of the character resemblance of Jesus, also of Greek mythology, also just how he could be both man and Superman, whatnot. This cover, this is 1992, issue number 64 of Superman, where Superman gets a letter from a young boy basically telling him about a death that has happened and how anyway, it's a very heartfelt issue of Superman. It was one of the few I've seen that actually directly addresses the whole thing of if Superman can cure everyone, can he and will he? I love this character. I grew up with this character. And I find that even in the most hackneyed, forced issues that have come out subsequently, there's still so much mileage in this character. There's so many things to explore. And finally,
and guarantee that never we will ever see a live-action version of Mixaplex.
You don't think so?
No. I have a good feeling we'd never ever will.
You've got to get to a phase two first.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I figured as much. Anyway, last one.
The Todd McFarlane era of The Incredible Hulk is my favorite. I love the artwork. Love it, love it, love it. And this is my introduction to Todd McFarlane. Yeah, I love his style. And this particular run of this one he did Hulk from 87 to 88, I love the stories, which are really dark and really strange. And the take on Peter Parker was a little different. This issue in particular always stood out to me because there's a part of this comic book where the characters actually go and see RoboCop in the theater. And a few of the panels portray a scene from RoboCop. And they come out of the theater and they're talking about, hey, Robo. I thought it was so cool. And, like, these characters are seeing the movies that I want to see too. Like, it felt. For me, that felt like a very real world way of, like, making this thing feel very accessible. This is also the first time I've ever seen this that's portrayed on the cover, the whole thing of Hulk bouncing, the whole thing of Hulk being able to seemingly fly, but he's just doing this super bounce. Incredible Hulk number 344 from 1988. I love this issue. For me, this introduced me to the whole thing of, if you see McFarlane's name on it, whether it be television, whether it be film, whether it be his toys, there's always just a caliber of quality. This is a guy who loves the fans, and we love him. He changed the way I saw action figures. Suddenly it's like, I need to get his action figures because he understands what I want to see in a toy.
Todd McFarlane, huh? Yeah. That's pretty good. I got to look up more of his work. Awesome.
And while you were talking about a few books back, that Superman comic that changes styles midway,
yeah.
I think we just formed Kaimana Yamada and John J. Murakami now want to jam on a comic together in a similar style. That would be awesome.
Sweet. Awesome.
Professor Barry.
You're first on the Nerd Watch.
Professor Barry, inspiring
people together.
Comic book artists, bringing them together. Well, anyway, that was your...
We're both going to be here at the Maui Comic Con.
10 comics in
hash it out.
20 yeah. minutes.
Yeah. That was the concept was a disaster.
No, it was
no the
good,
concept's
though.
Great.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Why not do it for half an hour?
We need to do more of that.
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
Instead of everything else we do.
That there's a cover for Incredible Hulk, and I can't remember which one. Maybe you know. But that was it just went to auction. It was by Todd McFarlane. It was on that run, and it was.
Is it that iconic Wolverine cover?
No,
where you can see him in the reflection.
No, it's the Hulk is busting through the logo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that just became the most expensive piece of comic art ever bought.
How much did it go for, you know?
Wow.
Something crazy, like $300 million or something.
Jeez. No, they don't go for like that. It was the most expensive piece of comic art previously was sold by Todd McFarlane, and it was $60,000 or something like that. And they really should be in the hundreds of thousands for some of the pieces that they're selling. So
I think this was like...
I have never seen a piece of original comic art go for more than $1 million.
What about just issues themselves? Doesn't Fantastic Four number one in Mint go for like $1 million?
Action Comics number one, the 9.0 copy, there's two of them known in existence.
One is owned by Nicolas Cage.
Was owned by Nicolas Cage.
Oh, was, before it hit the seller.
The last one to sell sold for $4 million. And jeez. The only comics that come close to that range are high-grade Golden Age comics that are first appearances like Wonder Woman or Superman or Batman. Once you get into this... the Silver Age with the first appearance of Spider-Man, I think Amazing Fantasy 15 is just getting close to that $1 million. I don't even think it's there yet. I think it's still at like a near mint copy of Amazing Fantasy 15 would go for probably around like $500,000 to $700,000. It's climbing, and it's probably going to pass $1 million soon.
Dang.
I don't think it has just yet.
Jeez.
So it's not a mark that a lot of things cross. Like a Fantastic Four number one is still a six figure book, not quite a mil yet. Yeah.
How long before I get any money from my Kukui Project number one?
You don't even have Kukui Project number one.
Shut your mouth.
I got
some
bad news for you, friend.
You owe everyone.
It's
going to
be a while.
It's going to be a while? All right.
You know, when Todd goes to prison, that thing's going to be worth so much money.
Let's hope so.
When?
It's pretty awesome.
When they find out about those bodies in his backyard.
Yeah, it's true. That's a good point. Well, listen, to kind of change the subject midstream here.
I'm sorry.
I wanted to mention that...
I like that, Barry.
Big good news. Job, yeah, thank you, Professor Barry.
Way to bring back the nerd to the Nerd Watch.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. We're trying to be cool here. Anyway, I do want to mention something that got very, very little play over this week, and no one really talked about it. But it's big.
Let's keep it that way.
And it's big here in the islands, of course.
That was like 2 weeks ago.
it was announced over this past week that a friend of the show, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, will be playing King Kamehameha in a production of the King Cam story. And he, and I guess he's, I guess this has been a dream of his since he started acting.
Dreaming?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Ever since
nice.
He started, when he's, ever since he got his first role in The Scorpion King, or I should say his first role in The Mummy, I guess. But he's always
take
wanted to
every
do
every role away from Hawaiians.
So,
even The Scorpion King.
Even The Scorpion King. But yeah, so Dwayne The Rock Johnson will be the man who will be donning the cape and the
cowl.
The cape cowl. And the cowl for for King Kamehameha.
The Bat King.
Since we're in Hawaii, and we're at this table on the lovely island of Maui, and we have people that are watching us that are on Oahu and all over the Big Island and such. I have a question. I mentioned this in our chat, our private chat,
which will remain private.
Which will remain
always.
Private all
Thank
the
you.
Time.
Thank you,
Francine.
Thank you.
Just as kind of a aside,
yes, sir.
That it's actually Amazing Spider-Man 328, but Hulk's on the cover, and Spider-Man's punching Hulk through the
yeah,
Amazing
that's a famous cover. From
that went for $657,000.
Yeah,
and 200.
But prior to that, it was orders of magnitude lower. It was 60 something. It was a Todd McFarlane page, but it was a splash from, I think, the same run of the Spider-Man. But it was a splash page that went for 60-something thousand.
Yeah, according to this article, prior to that, it was the Dark Knight Returns number 3. The cover for that with Frank Miller sold for $448,125.
That was recent.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was in 2011.
Yeah, that was.
And Todd? Then Weird Fantasy 29 sold for $380,000.
I said The Rock, not The Hulk.
What's the difference?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Sorry. Did I hijack your segment?
He did.
Well, nobody cares about
Todd
your.
Todd was answering the thing from.
No, he wasn't.
And nobody
was.
Cares about your fake outrage.
Hey,
anyways.
Hey! I'm just. I want to know.
He's fact checking. If that's fine.
What did Gannon call it?
All I want to know is if ScarJo can't play transgender.
Intramural. Something that made it sound lazy.
Can The Rock play Hawaiian? Is that okay?
Sure. Why not?
Yes, of course. The Rock can play King Kamehameha. He's huge.
Yeah, he is huge.
Huge.
Yeah, he is. Do you mean his star power, or do you mean like him actually?
All of it, baby. Have you seen that guy naked? Watch what movie is it?
Central Intelligence.
Central Intelligence.
Yeah.
Some naked rock in that. Like, almost. I mean, that dude has the muscles that kind of point to it. It's pretty obscene. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
The guess what's down
yeah.
I don't. Okay. Here's my only problem. All right. Here's my only problem.
With okay.
The well, what's your problem?
Please tell
G?
Us what your problem is.
As a non-Hawaiian.
Here's my problem.
Preface it with as a non-Hawaiian.
Here is a guy who played Maui in a cartoon adaptation of Moana. Which had nothing
so
to do with the Hawaiian
he's,
people.
He's getting too big for his britches.
Now,
he wants to play all the Hawaiians.
Yeah, now he wants to play all of them. That's what he wants to do.
That's fine.
Yeah. So, okay, here's the thing. In all fairness, I'm obviously, my outrage, I'm just kidding, obviously. But in this day and age.
Just kidding?
Yeah, in this day and age, can The Rock, I mean.
Did you really vote for Trump?
Absolutely.
Was that a joke?
No, I did. I did.
All right,
anyway,
get back on topic.
Anyway, get back on topic. All right, so The Rock. Is it all right? I mean, in this land of outrage that we live in for everything, why?
The outrage that we created.
No. I'm just asking. In the land of outrage that we live, I guess
put
that's
it this
right.
Way: every Hawaiian that has reacted to the casting of The Rock as King Kamehameha is supportive for it. Also, precedents in some genealogies believe that you know there was an age where there's a mass migration of Samoans that came to the island. And that, you know, here's Swan right here, who's one of the
Did advocates. He mass migrate as well?
Here's a Hawaiian himself,
oh, got it.
Buddy.
Got it. Okay, so then my question is, why not get somebody who does have star power say, like, hey, Jason Momoa, who is actually Hawaiian.
He can be in the movie too,
not.
Man.
What?
He's not, fool.
What? Nah, he's like,
Jason Momoa's not
he's
Hawaiian?
From Rapa Nui.
He's Hawaiian.
Dude, what?
Yes, his mother's Hawaiian.
Oh, his father's Hawaiian.
His father's Hawaiian. Thank
his
you.
His mother's from Iowa.
His mother's Hawaiian. That's it. His mother's from Iowa. Yeah, so Jason Momoa, why not get that guy? Because he's actually Hawaiian.
That's to say he's not in the movie.
Yeah, he could be in the movie, man.
All right.
He might be Ocean Master this time.
Well, I'm just kind of curious. I mean, listen, I've got no problem with the Rock playing the King.
Who've had problems with it are you and Tiny Tadani. And that guy is taking,
you know, the Hawaiians.
Yeah, Tiny Tadani of Tiny TV. He is taking some lumps in the public eye for having even said anything against the Rock as King Kamehameha.
No, I know everybody loves the Rock, but I'm just saying that I guess all sins are forgiven if you're Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Hell yeah, baby!
All right, just checking. That's all I want.
That guy taught a giant white monkey how to give the middle finger, and they called it a kids' movie.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah.
And that movie plays much better at home, by the way.
And everybody was like, yes, I love this kids' movie. Oh. Give me more from The Rock.
Yeah, I'm saying is that, you know, when we've got, you know, when ScarJo plays Ghost in the Shell, people freak.
Hasn't earned it, man. Don't talk about it. That made me angry.
See?
Why'd you bring it up?
But a lot of those people didn't see it.
It's true.
So
they didn't. It's actually a pretty decent movie, by the way. Yeah, and I'm just kind of curious.
True. I have the DVD and I still haven't watched it.
It's all. See, look you.
See, look at that.
I can't bring myself to. I'm like, I want to watch it.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this King of Man movie so I cannot watch it.
I'm gonna watch it.
Outrage.
Yeah. I'm gonna watch the crap out of it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, this
in
has 3D. Been this, to be fair to The Rock. He said that it has been his dream to play King Kamehameha ever since he started acting. So that
so
is
he's earned it, man. He's held on to the same dream the whole time.
I say that if he wants to play this role, he's got to go to Big Island and lift the Naha Stone.
Wow, look at you!
If he wants to,
that
if he wants
8 feet tall, it's like
if he wants to play it. I bet he could.
Or he can have his giant white monkey do it for him.
There you go. His giant
his
white
name
monkey.
Is George.
Wait, first of all, is that code for anything?
No, oh. It was a giant white monkey.
Oh, okay, got it. All right, just checking.
I can't.
I think he was named G. George.
George.
It's good.
If there is going to be a giant white monkey, I'd like the lobby to play that giant white monkey in the King.
Oh, man. I was just kind of curious how you
white
all
monkey,
felt.
White monkey,
because like I said, I've got no issue with The Rock playing King Kamehameha. I think it's going to be a pretty cool flick. If it's done right, I think he'll do well. What do you think there, Professor Barry?
This is a project I've been hearing about for years and years and years. Yep. I do remember him saying like a decade ago that he wanted to do this, and I thought, no. He's for one thing. I mean, he had just done the Scorpion King. Like, no, it's never happening. It's not. And if it is, it's going to be something that's really cheesy and straight to video. Now we got Robert Zemeckis going to direct, and we got Randall Wallace writing it. That's very impressive pedigree right there. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that at this moment, Dwayne Johnson's box office stock is down.
Yep.
So I do hope that this film is a change of course for him, not only in terms of being a great film, but also the movie that we all want it to be. Which it needs to be that good.
First,
it needs to be that good.
Can I say this, Professor Barry? The movie that King Kamehameha needs to be is the movie that we
Moana
all,
2
is
right.
Is the movie that we all made up in the Nerdwatch private feed. So,
in joke of in joke.
Yes, that would be awesome. What we made up in there was pretty cool. I have to admit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one gets to see. Yeah, no one.
We'll film it. We're gonna film it. We're totally gonna film that.
Well, it's interesting.
No, I think that's the problem. Actually, that the most people have the problem with is the production. Like they're like, oh, The Rock as King Kamehameha. Yeah, let's do it. And then you're like Robert Zemeckis and that other guy.
Randall Wallace.
I understand
a great
he has a pedigree and they're a great writer and everything, but that's where
you
people start
to
have
Hawaiian names.
Yeah, and the worst part is. You can expect
this isn't Hawaiian.
The worst part is that even as the production goes on, people are probably going to have the feeling, and they're probably right, that you're not going to hear about any known cultural, you know, who they're getting advice from or who's contributing to the movie, and it's just going to be an entertainment movie. And that's what a lot of Hawaiian people are more concerned with. The Rock is Kamehameha is fine. There's zero problems with that. It's... They're worried about the representation that comes from it because, you know, it's a rock movie, so it will be semi-exploitative, not completely.
Chat wants to
accurate.
Know what Aaron's take
yeah,
on
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, yeah. I want to hear, too.
Yeah. Aaron, do you also think that The Rock should not be playing King Kamehameha like I do?
Honestly, I don't really care.
Oh, well, that's a...
Okay, well, moving on then.
The coolest I've seen Aaron be.
I'm not against it. I'm not, Daddy-o. You know... I think he'll do well. Having someone as... mega-talented as Robert Zemeckis, I think we'll have a good film. Zemeckis has a really good... track record.
We're asking the guy whose favorite movie is Back to the Future whether Zemeckis. He thinks Zemeckis can direct
the
good
movie. Gonna pop up in the DeLorean and be like, yeah. King, you've got to unite the islands. Aaron's like,
we've got to go back.
Come in. Come in, Mel. You got to go back. Where?
Bam, bam, bam.
That's really
this movie
awesome.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, so he's not the guy.
No, but seriously.
Oh, no bias, really, Aaron?
No. No, Zemeckis hardly makes a bad movie, really. So
everyone in the audience is like, this is an abomination. Aaron's like, yeah!
Give me more.
Oh, my gosh.
What was Zemeckis' last film?
I think
you're saying
Zemeckis
that it wasn't so great.
His last film was...
was Flight and The Walk.
The Walk was his last
movie. There was
something
since The Walk.
Was there?
Yeah. What are we not thinking of?
No, it hasn't been released yet.
No. There was something he's done since The Walk. I swear to God, he did something recently, and it wasn't good.
No. You know, because
he's got the movie Welcome to Morrowind coming out this year. Right. It looks terrible.
Terrible, yeah.
The canoe needs to go 88 miles per hour.
Oh, if you just that scene
oh, man.
With the rock, just
that's
like
awesome. Awesome.
It's like fire trails behind.
They call instead of calling him Martin, they call Cammy.
Oh, man.
You gotta paddle that canoe over 88 miles an hour. That's really awesome. Oh, that's too funny. Oh my gosh, oh,
88 knots.
Allied with Brad Pitt. I don't think it sucked. I just didn't think it was good. Allied was boring.
You know who they should have gotten? The Rock.
Allied. The Rock.
The Rock.
And I love that
box
movie.
Office goal. Is that
you
the
like, really? I love you Allied. Allied?
Yeah. Is Allied the one where Brad Pitt's married to the spy?
Yes.
Yeah. Marion Cotillard.
Isn't,
spoilers.
Isn't that Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Spoiler alert! I was really glad when she blew her brains out. At the end.
Whoa!
Spoilers,
dude! They got back together.
She's a German.
And,
I think
she was a Nazi.
I think Kaimana Yamada brings up a good point. I wonder how many Chi-Hoos will be in the King Kamehameha movie.
Only if Jason Momoa is in there with them. They're going to have like a whole section which is them just sounding off to each other. They're like on different mountain ridges.
That's good. That's so good.
I think Alika's right, though. I mean, I think if they're smart about it, they will not only include the community, but also like get some real smart advisors on there. When Moana happened, one of my favorite things about watching the end credits of Moana is a friend of mine worked in the movie. His name is Dr. Vilsoni Hironiku. He lives on Oahu, and he's the only filmmaker out of Fiji. He did a film called The Land Has Eyes, and he was...
I've seen that.
It's a great film. And yeah. he was an advisor on Moana. If they're smart, they'll go to someone like him. They'll go to, like, you know, whoever the you know, Hawaiian professor is
all right,
at U of H.
Right, and that was your fault then, because that's the reason why I didn't like Moana, so it's his fault. Because it feels very Fijian.
It is Fijian!
The movie
never stops lap dancing.
The movie takes place before the Polynesians had made it to Hawaii.
Wow, it's unbelievable.
So it's...
What?
Don't worry, the Hawaiian language version is coming soon.
Is it?
As we know,
oh yeah, that's right, it is.
Yeah, so...
Hashtag Moana so white. Anyway, moving on.
Why, are you going to watch it like that?
In
like
Hawaiian?
You're going to understand any of it.
No, I'm not going to watch it in Hawaiian. Are you crazy?
With English like subtitles? Or you're watching
Dubbed. You can't tell what your welcome is in English. How are you going to do it in
Hawaiian?
True,
that's a good point. That's a good point. But anyway, getting back to the point, Dwayne The Rock Johnson will be playing King Kamehameha. It'll be a lot of fun to watch him do it.
Thomas F. Wilson will be back as Biff.
And, nice.
Can you imagine it's like the missionary Biff, like, why don't you make like a tree? Get out of here.
You can be Captain Cook. What are you looking at, butthead?
God, when is this movie coming out?
It's like a skateboard made out of Koa wood and the rockets on.
Oh my gosh. That is so awesome, dude. I love it. Anyway, all right, this Nerd Watch, just for the record, this Nerd Watch podcast has no problem with The Rock playing King Kamehameha.
Not really.
Not really. Not really.
Right. It's just, this sounds like the best case scenario. If it was like an untested, unknown filmmaker, and it was like guys who made really, made really bad movies that have betrayed history, I'd be like, oh, this is a mistake. But Braveheart's a terrific film.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of Pearl Harbor. And that's a mistake for me, and I'm afraid it could go that route where it becomes so commercial, so mainstream, that it kind of it's just a completely dishonest film, I feel. But I feel like Braveheart especially is an example.
That's it. Faith Hill could do the love song for King Kamehameha.
Or Huey Lewis.
And that's the show, folks.
Huey Lewis.
I think Huey Lewis would be a better fit than Faith Hill.
Back to the Future. That's good, John J. Murakami. That's good stuff, sir.
A lot at,
bro. That's good stuff, bro. Love it. Anyway, moving on. It's time to check in. Now it's Aaron's turn, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey,
Aaron, it's time to check in. Find out.
He talked all that time in the last segment.
He used up all his minutes.
I'm going to give him a few more because it's time to find out what's new this week.
People are picking on Pearl Harbor now.
What?
I love that.
They're going to make Ben Affleck sad.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite Michael Bay movie.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Everybody knows that the only reason why...
Pearl Harbor and Armageddon.
Wow.
I do like Armageddon. I'm not going to lie. For the cheese, I love that movie. But anyway, time to find out what Hard Media is out this week. The master. Time to check in with the master of Hard Media, Aaron. Aaron! You're the master of Hard Media. What say you, sir?
What's hard,
yo? I've only picked up one this week, which is Adrift. Very surprising movie. Yep. Like, they keep to the true story, but they put their own little twist to it.
Is that the one
Joaquin
with
Phoenix?
So good. No.
What?
No.
I'm like picturing a movie poster with Joaquin.
No, it's
Phoenix
the one with
that movie's really good though.
It's the one with Jude Law and
Jude Law
and Ethan.
It's a national treasure.
And Ethan Hawke.
Gattaca?
No, not Gattaca.
Gattaca Part 2.
Gattaca Part 2.
I'm so. Is it really Jude Law and Ethan Hawke? I'm in.
What are we talking
about?
Yeah,
they're stuck in the middle of the sea.
No. This is the one with
Shailene Woodley and Sam Claflin.
Claflin, yeah.
Okay.
Who are they?
What's the Jude Law movie you're talking about?
Gattaca.
Okay.
My fave.
That's the running
He's
joke
so
on this show.
Hooked on Gattaca.
I'm so confused.
Ever since.
Jude Law.
He's like, what? Jude Law? What?
What else is coming out other than Adrift?
Hereditary came out, so I can...
I saw it. I finally watched Hereditary.
Wow. So good.
What came out?
Hereditary.
Oh, Hereditary.
The ending is like...
Hereditary is without a doubt one of my best pictures of the year.
I think that's what a horror movie
is. I wouldn't know.
Like something really...
That's right.
Twice he went
without me. It's true.
But you've watched it, right? Hereditary?
Yeah, he went twice without me.
Went twice, yeah, I did.
Why are you getting offended? You go on mandates with Barry without him, so it's like...
Yeah, you can go with him. You can see it by yourself.
We go to classy theater, kind of.
That part of the plan?
Oh, I see how it is now.
Yeah, when Aaron and Barry go out, it's to the Yale Theater.
You're going to go to those low-rent theaters with Greg.
Yeah.
Ooh, we have a caller?
Uh-oh, good Lord. We actually have a caller? Who's calling?
Is it The Rock?
How are you going to be the master of hard media and not buy Hereditary?
Is this Gannon? Something Gannon would say.
I don't know. I'll let you guys guess.
I haven't bought
Hereditary. Sounds like Gannon.
I have to tell you that if anybody has not seen Hereditary in the horror movies, you need to. I am in love with this movie. I think it is fantastic. I think it's one of the best films of the year.
Well, if anybody wants
so
to pick
much it, so that you've seen it twice.
Twice.
Yeah. Well, if anybody does want to pick it up, it's 15% on Cartwheel at Target.
Oh, oh really?
It's 15% off.
Wow, I'm doing it.
It's
a lot cheaper
every
than.
It's pretty.
Well, now you can for 15% off.
And I don't watch horror movies. It was just by chance.
That's a good deal for a brand new movie.
Absolutely. I agree. Hereditary is fantastic.
My wife watches horror movies.
Yeah.
I'm not into horror
movies. What else? What how are you going to top Hereditary this week, Mr. Hard Media?
Well, I'm going to save the best one for last.
Okay.
But there's two exclusives that have anniversaries, which is Hocus Pocus and A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Wow.
And they're both
a nightmare. Cool.
Yeah, they're getting a Best Buy Steelbook, and Target is doing digibooks. But I hear it's really hard to find.
Yeah, like, digital
books.
Bring
out, yeah, they only bring. They only put out like five in each store.
So what a digibook is a digibook is kind of like...
It's like a Digimon.
It's got... They give you like a little book...
You mean the digital monsters?
...of information.
Digimon are the champions.
Yeah, that's all it is. Just information. It's like a little mini book about the production and things like that they put in with the disc. It's called a digibook edition.
Those Bette Midler fans are rabid.
Yeah,
no wonder why it's hard
that's what it's called. That's what it is.
Is it a double feature with beaches?
No. Oh, that'd be amazing.
Down wouldn't that be the best double feature ever?
Okay, can I say something about Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yeah.
When I first saw that film, I watched
it's a
that
Christmas
movie.
Movie.
You hated it.
No. When I watched, I didn't hate it.
You
I watched
loved
it. I watched it at the Waikiki 3.
Nice.
Before, back in the day.
Yeah, I know.
And you hated it.
And I sat in the load seat to watch it, and I literally...
The load seat?
The load seats. Because there you could actually walk up the steps, and there was a balcony, so there was a loge seating, as they call it.
Loge?
L-O-G-E. That's it. But anyway...
Are they named after Robert Loge?
That's right. No, but what's funny is that after watching that movie, about maybe 45 minutes in... I literally felt into some kind of trance watching that movie. I don't know if it was like the motion, the way of the animation, the way the stop motion was working, but I literally don't remember like that whole scene with Ooga Boogity. Mm-hmm. I don't remember it. I saw him, and then all of a sudden,
it's Oogie Boogie.
Yeah, Oogie Boogie, whatever his name is, Mr. Boogity. Boogity. But yeah, I don't remember that.
You said it wrong.
But again. I remember his face and the sack. And for some reason, my mind jump cuts to well after that when he rescues her or whatever. Mm. I don't remember anything after I saw the pinwheel.
Okay.
I remember nothing. So I haven't seen it since then. So I have this
maybe.
Very,
To reset it, you should watch Beaches.
Did something traumatic happen to you at the movie theater?
Did you experience Lost Time?
I did. It was weird because I literally fell into a trance. And I think it was because of that. I think it was because
Robert
of that pinwheel
Loggia
thing.
Seating.
I think it was because of the pinwheel thing in the shot. Because it was weird.
You should watch it in reverse and get your time back.
You should sue. I think the statute of limitations is still good on that.
I have a talk with Henry Selick.
Movie hypnotization.
I feel like I've already been accosted for watching his other film, Cabin Boy. So it's
What about Monkey Bone?
Or Monkey Bone.
Cabin Boy is incredible.
It's a good movie.
It's a showcase of Chris Elliott's range.
That's right.
Did you go home and start listening to like Susie and the Banshees and get your hair all wrestled up?
I started really actually listening to Susie and the Banshees after they were on the Batman soundtrack.
Ooh,
and I really liked the Susie and the Banshees.
Susie and the Banshees.
Yeah. You know. So what else came out, A-Rod, other than those two?
You got hypnotized.
I did.
I think the best one is they're releasing on 4K debut is Bad Boys 1 and 2.
Oh!
What? More Michael Bay.
Yeah. But the packaging is so nice. They took a lot of care.
But I thought you said you don't like Michael
creating,
Bay.
I love Michael Bay.
That's the best. You just said the movies Michael that the Michael box. Bay makes are like the worst.
I
might have said that.
I think I said
but
that.
But the care they took in the packaging head. Is so gorgeous. And I believe they remastered the Blu-ray. So
fantastic.
I love that soundtrack, Bad Boys 1.
I like both movies.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. A Blu-ray.
They actually, what's funny is that they actually will up, they will actually remaster like the 2K transfer.
Your eyes can't see past 1080p.
Yeah, it's weird. They're gonna.
Now they're like, hey, 8K.
They're gonna 8K it. That's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. It's pretty crazy.
You guys are so silly.
I'm very excited. I love the Bad Boys movies. I like them both. I think first one is superior.
You should see them in Robert Loggia's seating.
Shut your jerk.
The packaging is not really normal. It doesn't go up this way. It's like lays like this sideways.
Oh, really?
Like letterbox?
Yeah.
That's really strange.
That was a thing. Remember that?
I think if I were to look in my Michael Bay canon,
Michael Bay,
I think Bad Boys 1 and 2 are probably my top two.
Mm.
And then right after that is all of the Transformers movies.
Yikes.
So
I would go the Islands and everything else. No. The Islands, everything else.
Wouldn't it be the Rock? Good.
The Rock is good too.
The Rock is good. I'll give you that.
The Rock is great.
Well, yeah, he's going to play a King for Man. So
mean, Thomas F. Wilson is going to play Biff.
And I just rewatched Pain and Gain.
I wonder if they can get a role for
it's
Robert
so funny.
Lungia.
You like Pain and Gain?
So funny. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I like that too. Well, anyway, gents and ladies, I think that about does it for the Master of Hard Media, Aaron. Thank you, Aaron.
Hey!
Next week, we got some more stuff coming up, don't we? Sweet. Can't wait.
Yeah,
big,
we do.
The big one's Ocean
Comics
Gate,
Gates.
Big
one's and Ocean movies Gates. About Comics Gates.
And at the end of the month, I believe we're also getting Solo finally, right? Yep. Solo is coming
September
out.
September 11th is the Tree of Life on Criterion.
Yep. Is it really?
That's the big one for me. That's the one I've been looking forward to all year. All
right. I can't wait to see that. Well,
they're adding a whole hour back into the movie.
Yes, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
And he's re-edited the film. So yeah. It's like, as they've said, it's a completely different
yes!
film.
Yes. So. I'm so excited.
I can't wait for that new Murder, Inc. single get dropped. Ja Rule. Ashanti, back in the studio.
It's my comeback, man.
Also, this week, by the way, on Tuesday, this Tuesday,
Bad
I
Boys
say,
3.
This
Bad Boys.
That is happening soon.
I'm sorry. Oh. I should say today.
Wait, that's DMX.
Today.
DMX. DMX and Ja Rule back in the studio.
Today.
Murder.
Friends now. Murder.
Hey, let me finish this. Today, for gaming. We got Destiny 2 Forsaken came out today.
Woo!
For those of you that like gaming, and
for those of you that like Destiny,
that's right. For those of you that like Destiny, yeah. And this Friday, by the way, is the release of the PlayStation 4 exclusive Spider-Man video game, which is going to be looks pretty phenomenal. So you can check that out, Spider-Man.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
PS4
PS4 exclusive.
Everybody's going nuts Friday. Over it.
Everybody is going nuts over it.
Yeah, hopefully they fix the graphics thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, the graphics thing apparently is a quote unquote hashtag fake
news
story.
They dialed back on the actual release. Graphics, mm-hmm. So they don't look as good as all the commercials we've been seeing.
The gameplay looked incredible on the commercials.
Yeah.
Well, they say that the reviews have been fairly good.
It's on a 4K Ultra.
They say that the film, or I should say the game itself, actually looks
this
good.
This is what we sound like when we're allowed to speak.
Yeah, I guess.
Quit trying to hold us back, Carl.
But anyway, they say the game it plays well. They say that Spider-Man, when he's swinging through the city, is phenomenal. They say he's kind of herky-jerky when he's in buildings and things like that. His normal movements.
You know, like every other Spider-Man game.
He's saying when the wall crawling can be a little...
The first Spider-Man game I played was, I think, based from the movie, the first Sam Raimi movie.
Spider-Man, mm-hmm. Spider-Man 2 was
on
the first
PS2,
Spider-Man game I played.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2. I wanted to say 2, but I didn't know if it was only the second one.
It was 2.
That game... was mind blowing at the time to me. I mean, you know, you swing into a part of city and it's not loaded yet, and yeah, whatever. But we are at that level of video games where we had the patience to deal with.
That. Right,
yeah.
That was the NeverSoft games.
But the swinging through the cities, that was like a pretty free feeling.
It was like an
open world feeling.
It was that Spider-Man game and Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2.
Oh, Tony Hawk 2 was
just.
Spent hours and hours and hours of my life.
They say that the web slinging in this new one harkens back to that. So I'm very excited to try.
It was very intuitive, and I'm not a regular video game player. So for me to be able to pick it up and get into it and feel like I'm swinging through, you know, with the controllers and know what to press, it was pretty impressive.
You mean video games that aren't retro?
Yeah, I need just two buttons, like A and B, a select start.
Just checking.
That's good.
Just checking.
I don't need any of this X, Y crap.
Well, listen, right after this...
I just want one button.
Shut up. I think G has that button.
Is it the hardest button to button?
It's the hardest one to push. Always is. Listen, right after this program...
I don't know. I'll never be able to find it.
Right after this program, there's going to be a very special show for all of you. That we're gonna do, not you guys, just me and Barry.
Sweet.
Oh, and Aaron.
You want us to turn the lights off?
Yeah. We're gonna talk about the best and worst movies of the summer coming up, as well as a little
singing
special for everybody.
Get some Barry White to play for us.
Yeah. So that way you guys can stay tuned for that. That should be coming up shortly. And we can watch Francine finish her Meg pinup, which should be a lot of fun. Can't wait to finish.
You can see
at
her nipples.
Yeah.
What are you finishing?
Anyway, other than that, am I missing anything before we get out of here, gents and lady?
Anything?
Insatiable.
Insatiable.
Oh, yeah,
I'm only about like 4 or 5 episodes deep.
Yeah, it's
I didn't
crazy.
Get to where you said episode 9
episode
going crazy.
Episode 9 was super amazing. It was worth all.
It's an absurd show. Everybody has problems with how problematic all the themes and whatever in it is. Like, it's just a. It was very absurd.
It was an absurd. You know what my favorite thing about was that character, the main character. Reminds me of John Ritter a whole bunch. Dallas Roberts.
Oh, that guy.
So he's like, oh, it's like super sweet.
I love John Ritter.
But, it just gets it gets crazier and crazier until the finale when it's just absurd.
I want to give it a chance. I had no real problems with it.
I thought the jokes were hilarious. To me, the characters.
You know, I was a former chunky kid, so it's like all the flashbacks they're having to their fat days, and then they're not fat anymore. I was like, I kind of relate to that. Yeah. nobody knows if you know you're in decent or regular shape and you're not overweight, and then people look at you, they'll never think that you relate to ever being overweight or anything. So the way they treat you, and people do get treated differently based on their weight, and when you have been both sizes, you realize how differently people treat people, you know, based on their looks.
They should.
And it's just funny to see.
No, I'm just saying they
should.
Are
you saying, so what kind of treatment do you get, though? I mean.
No, I'm saying that they should. All I'm saying is, look, if you want, look, you know, it's like.
Because you know that SJWs are going to come and rescue you, right?
I know, right. But that's the whole point. It's like when you go to Planet Fitness, it's a no judgment zone. How can you lose weight?
You want
to
be judged. That's how you get motivated.
Exactly. How are you supposed to be motivated if you're not being judged?
Slap me in the face.
Right. Exactly.
Tell me I'm worthless.
I'm just saying that fat people should definitely be treated differently.
Whoa.
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
Our word.
Matter. Yeah, so I'm just saying.
That's our word.
That they should not be treated as nicely as, you know, normal sized people. That's
so
all.
You're okay with it when people treat you poorly for being overweight?
Yeah, it's fine.
Really?
With me. Yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm okay with it.
Is this like some reverse psychology thing?
No.
I'm okay with it.
Listen, I'm being
abuse
serious.
Me. I like it.
I'm being serious. I think it's
seriously. Right?
It's one thing. I think it's one thing to be. I think it's one thing to be bullied. I'm not down with that. But what I am going to say is that.
What are you down with, G?
It's okay. Listen, fat jokes.
He's
are great.
Up with supremacy. Yeah. Apparently.
Fat supremacy.
See, that's the line I want you to take. That would be very empowering, you know? What? Like back in the 80s, there was fat idols. There were the fat boys. It was
Okay, let me give you an example. And this is not even Nerdwatch.
Nowadays, it's everybody's
anyway.
Svelte and they're body positivity.
It's, yeah.
Look at my abs.
I'm not.
Be positive.
There was that really.
Where's my fedora?
There were, on that cover of, I don't know what it was, Cosmo or Red Book, and they had this very chunky woman on the front, and they were kind of idolizing her.
Yummy.
Her fatness. As
whoa.
It were.
You gotta have something to hold
and here's my problem with that. We can't idolize that because it's not healthy. Let's be honest. I'm not a healthy guy. We shouldn't be idolizing that. But don't get me started. This is the Nerd Watch for Christ.
Cosmo? I think with stuff like that, I feel like that's just a matter of what you feel is beautiful. I don't think it has anything to do with health. I think it's about just...
Because a lot of those models look like crackheads. That's not healthy.
Yeah, that's not healthy.
I agree with that.
I feel like it depends where you are culturally.
Wait, crack isn't healthy?
I mean,
you better change your diet.
I mean, I'm not judging.
No, I listen. I, all I'm saying is that if you in order to change, you need to be judged. So, yeah, just it's one of those. Let's be honest, it's one of those things. Unless somebody tells you something, you're not going to change.
That's not true.
I think so. But listen,
judge is kind of a strong way of putting it. I mean, couldn't you know, you have someone to encourage you, someone to motivate you, someone to challenge you.
Yeah, like a
judge
mean drill sergeant.
Like diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
That's for real. That's a good motivator for a lot of people. Yeah.
Do you think when Mickey was training Rocky, do you think that he was being motivating? No, he was beating him down. He's, you know,
at least he said
he tied his
him.
Arm up to make him fight Southpaw. Make him use his right hand.
Yeah, but he didn't call him fat.
No, he didn't.
You're fat, Rock. Yeah. You're fat. You're a fatty boomer.
You're
fat,
Rock.
Who loves you?
Yeah.
You're so fat.
No one loves you.
That's right. You ain't going to kill him. You're going to eat him.
And then you're going to crap lightning.
And you're going to eat Apollo. That's good stuff. It's pretty awesome. I like it.
There you go. Chat saying G is beautiful.
Oh, shut up. Give me a break.
Show us some nips.
That's the crap I hate.
Show us some nips.
But you guys would be disgusted with who the person is. He is on the inside.
That's, yeah. Thanks. I appreciate that. I really appreciate that.
You're beautiful on the outside, but you're a terrible person.
Thanks, Todd.
You're welcome. You need that white.
Yeah, improve.
You need a white heterosexual Christian just beat down. Yeah, that's what you.
Thanks, Todd.
God,
your judgments has really turned my life around.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Did it God, help?
It did help a little bit.
You sinner.
Help me a little bit.
Yeah, are you better now? Are you a better person now, Gene?
You're a good person now. Anyway, I think that about does it for this show.
we have heart attack survivors in the chat, too.
Yeah.
See,
so that's a good
saying.
Motivation.
Yeah, it's always a good motivation. Shape. Absolutely. And I do think it's all about genetics, too,
but
to be fair. So
there's,
I think
genetics has something to do with it, but motivation as well. But, mm-hmm. I mean, just be healthy, you know? It's not really about being skinny and crackhead looking.
I think part of that show shows, like, even though she was physically, like, better mentally,
she was not
she
mentally
was
there.
Out of control.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were talking about shows.
Insatiable.
Sorry. Yeah,
well, Insatiable brings up the topic of body image, of course.
Mm.
Well, I was just and waiting for it to
you know,
come around.
You know,
so
you know who are
Disenchanted.
You know who are Insatiable?
Okay, we haven't covered good. Disenchanted yet
yeah.
either.
That was fun.
You know who are Insatiable? Fat people. Sorry to tell you.
That's
true.
All right.
That's
anyway.
Fattest.
No, by the way, it's called Disenchantment.
Disenchantment.
And that's
yeah,
correct.
How do you know?
Because I've watched it. And
yeah, but you're fat.
And it's
you don't read.
That's how we're going to respond to everything.
That's good.
Isn't that what you wanted? That's
now that we know that it works,
right?
You're like, you're right. There is a hierarchy.
It's good. I brought this on myself, but that's really you. Funny. That guy's to watch Disenchantment.
Actually, I'm pretty sure that's like 85% of the audience. It's that crossover between people who love The Simpsons and people who play D&D.
Did you guys watch Paradise PD?
I watched one episode and I was like, how many times can they talk about buttholes?
Dude, it's awful.
I was like, I can't.
It's awful.
I love edgelord crappy, you know, I'll watch Adult Swim if it's on, whatever. If there's swears in it, it's cartoons, it's cute, it's funny. But the Paradise PD, I was like, I grew weary of it. I was like,
it's awful.
It's, yeah.
You had to trudge through the buttholes. It was like,
yeah.
It was
too much.
I couldn't handle it. I was really looking forward to it being something funny and genuine on the like Brickleberry.
The Hobo Cop.
But then again,
Brickleberry
isn't that funny.
Yeah, man. Hobo Cop.
Yeah,
there's a couple gems in there.
Yeah, the Hobo Cop thing was pretty cute. That was pretty funny. Hey, they got a fat cop in there that some chick is obsessed with, and doesn't he have like a colostomy bag connected to his or something?
I'm not that into the show. If you couldn't tell,
right? Is it?
Yeah, she's really brutal. She
is super brutal.
She's awesome.
I like her.
Okay.
Yeah, I like her a lot. Anyway, don't watch it. Whatever you do.
It's a hit or miss with the Netflix cartoons. Yeah. You're like, is this one going to... Because F is for Family, the Bill Burr animated series,
funny.
Which is on its season 2.
Very good.
Great show.
Very good
That's
show.
That's hilarious.
I'm going to get into that one.
Yeah, it's like really it? Good. It's yeah. really good.
I mean, it,
I guess
we'll
try it again. Maybe.
Well, you have to kind of grow up in that when you're in that era,
you have to
kind of
grow up, Francine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe you're too young and innocent. sorry to tell you, sister, you're not.
Okay, well,
we established that G's the oldest.
I am the oldest. Yeah.
You're the matriarch.
He's the grandmother.
Okay. I think you're the youngest.
I'm not the youngest. Aaron's the youngest.
Oh, that's 18. Right. Aaron is the youngest.
I think he's 17.
Yeah. He's 18 years old. Oh,
barely. He had his bar mitzvah the other day.
That's why he needs us to take him to movies because we're old enough and we can get him a ticket.
Does that mean you have to pretend to be his guardian?
One for me and my son, please.
Yeah. Aaron, nice. You were 18. That's...
Actually, my mom had to sign for me when I went to watch Happy Time Murders.
No kidding.
That's pretty awesome.
Speaking of Aaron's parents, by the way, I got to mention Uncle Dale. Thank you very much for gifting me these Ninja Turtles comics. You know, they're my favorite.
Wow.
So it's the Creed Ninja Turtles crossover from Lightning Comics, which I didn't have in my collection, so thank you very much. And multiple copies.
Where's mine
online.
On the Dale?
Don't even look at them.
Based on the band?
Yes. Actually, I think this is where the band got their name because they're actually pre that guy, Scott Stapp.
Scott Stapp. That guy kind of looks like Scott Stapp.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Is Scott Stapp probably read this comic as a kid and was like, can you take
Well, that's
me?
Why he gave
it.
Oh, sweet.
Wow.
That's
a real deal, man.
That's a real deal.
Yeah.
I believe most of them are signed.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah. All right.
Eric Stevenson.
Yeah. Joseph Zakowski.
Nice. That's pretty
and
sweet.
Rupert Tangle.
Those guys.
Stephen Zakowski.
Kevin Eastman, Peter Laird Hamilton.
That's pretty good. Nice. Nice stuff. Anyway, listen, ladies and gents, it's time for us to go. We're apparently running out of material.
And.
What?
Sam Campo sent me some new. I've got the pineapple man bobblehead freshly in stock.
What the hell, man?
Oh, pineapple fresh.
And they're signed. I want.
And they're signed by Sam Campo himself.
I want one.
And the Pineapple Man Zane special. Which was going to debut at Amazing Comic Con, which unfortunately got canceled. But he printed 100 copies of the Zane special, and they are now available here at Maui Comics. I think Enjoy Comics and Big Island also has a bunch of them.
All right,
come here and get your bobblehead and your Pineapple Man.
Is this one mine? I'm taking this.
What?
Yeah,
this is mine. I'll bring you up after the show.
All right, great. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure to hang with you guys today. I love all of you, even the fat ones. So
that's like all of us.
Yeah, seriously. All fatties.
Yeah,
I was wondering by the cardboard.
Yeah. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back next week. We're going to talk about more movies, more games, and but no, I'm sorry, we won't, because next week we're ComicsGate is taking the spotlight. And after my fat talk, you know where I stand on it. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back next week with Professor Barry, hopefully. We'll be back with
maybe
Todd Bernardi. Todd, by the way, you're starting to let yourself go again. You need to freshen up a bit. Your facial hair and your coif.
I need to comb my hair and trim my beard?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're out of control.
You need to shave your
They're blue.
Boob.
My butt.
Oh, your butt.
That was
butt.
A Pink Flamingos reference.
We'll be back next week. Professor Barry and myself, along with A-Ron, will be doing a little retrospective of the summer of this year coming up. So if you guys want to stay tuned for that, you can. It's all about movies and the goodness of film. And we'll try and get that done in about an hour, if that. Maybe a half an hour, hopefully. And the rest of you nobodies. Can get the hell out
Whoa.
Of here. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, I am paying rent.
Yeah, here, I know, so. I know. So, but we'll be back next week for Comics Gate.
And I'm skinnier than you.
The origins of Comics Gate, which will be a lot of fun. So you guys want to stay tuned for that next week. Until then, for Todd, for the lovely Lady Gannon, for Professor Barry, for Dr. Daddy Leaks,
and of course,
the master of hard media, A-Ron. We are out of time. Stay tuned, Facebook Live. We got more movie talk coming up in just a little bit. But for you guys listening listening to us, make sure you guys tune in every single week right on iTunes, on Audioboom, on Stitcher, and on Spotify. And download us on the Maui Watch app as well, on the Google Play Store and iTunes Store as well. So until next time, I am G Money. Peace out and much love. And most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next week, we say to you guys, aloha. All right.
Hey,
I'm saying goodbye. Everybody shut up. All right, bye. We're out of here.
Did we say...
bye.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Sharks have squirrel bobs.